Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Carrie Loafman and Alexa Wendt. They are with the Main Place in Newark and Mount Vernon, here to talk about some major issues taking place in our communities. Can't wait to get into this discussion. Mostly sunny skies throughout the day today. Going to be a beautiful day. Cool tonight. A little bit of cloudy skies. And then for your Halloween, that's where it moves in. Mostly cloudy skies and some rain on Thursday. So keep that in mind. And real quick, if you missed it, Hebron and Johnstown have already changed their trick-or-treat night from Thursday to tonight. So you want to jump on their Facebook page and see the times. I believe Hebron's was 5:30 to 7, and Johnstown is going to be 6 to 7:30. So keep that in mind as you make your way out and about today. You will see some trick-or-treaters across the community. Carrie, you big into Halloween? Because everybody who knows me knows I'm not a Halloween guy.
Not really. Never been one of my favorite things.
See, now you and I already kindred spirits right here. You two can leave. Carrie and I could talk about the hate for Halloween. Alexa, what about you? Are you a Halloween person?
I actually love Halloween just for the kids, though.
Okay, yeah. So you're not one of those adults that, because there's a lot of people have the big parties and all get dressed up. I've gone to parties where I haven't gotten dressed up and you'd have thought I'd killed somebody because I didn't do it. Are you one of those get dressed up?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. I can see that. I can
She's
see
being
that.
Cagey this morning.
Yes, yes, she is. Yeah.
There might be something that we'll have to get into.
We'll have to figure out what she's going to do for now. Are you dressing up tonight or for Thursday?
No.
Okay. That's good then. You're probably safe then. Because if you told me you were, I might have to say you're out, and Carrie and I are just going to sit in here and talk. Carrie Loafman, again, executive director of the Main Place in Newark and Mount Vernon. Carrie, for folks who are not exactly sure what the Main Place is all about, what you folks do to help others in our community, maybe a little background on the Main Place.
Sure. Main Place, we're a peer-run organization focusing on mental health services. We provide peer support and operate a drop-in center Monday through Fridays. We're open from 8 to 3. And by a drop-in center, that means that people can come in and receive mental health services right away. They don't need an appointment. They can get in and start their recovery journey the very day they walk in. There may be some things that they need an appointment for, but we'll get something for them going the very first day they walk in. So that's one of the things that's unique about us. Also unique is doing peer support, where people with lived experiences, either with mental health or addiction or both, they come in and they're working in the field trying to help people through their own lived experiences to help them because they understand where they're coming from. They've lived the life, whether it be mental illness, addiction, and also probably associated with that is some periods of homelessness.
It's so powerful. I mean, we see it time and time again with organizations like yours in the community that, people that have been helped by an organization, they're the first ones to respond and say, hey, this is so powerful. It was great for my life. It's wonderful that you have peers in there working with those folks because that message means so much.
Yeah, that's Alexa's story. She's our peer support director, and she can talk firsthand about that.
Well, Alexa, when you talk about that, I mean, how, when you're out talking to people, and Carrie and I were saying this earlier, I mean, they may talk to us, but they're not going to get into the root of what's going on. Do you find it's easier for you because you can say, hey, look, I've been here. I know what this is all about. Do people open up to you then?
People definitely open more to somebody who shares that experience. And it doesn't have to be that you walk the exact same shoes. It can be, you know, similar stories.
Mm-hmm. How frustrating is it when you hear, you know, something, we'll get into this with Carrie. And I mean, how frustrating when you hear folks say, well, people want to live this life. You can't help them. This is what they want. This is what they choose. As somebody who's been there, and again, don't know your whole your background, but I mean, is that frustrating when you hear that?
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say to folks who say that then?
9 times out of 10, it's when people say those things to me, the first thing I ask them is, do you even know that person's name?
Mm-hmm.
Because without a name, I'm pretty sure you don't know a story.
Yeah. And you find that, is it mental health? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? I mean, when you're talking to people, if you were to just take like a percentage of those, I mean, do you get that? I mean, or is it just a mix of all of it?
It's a mix of all of it.
Mm-hmm. And how many folks are you seeing when you go out?
So the tricky, that's a tricky question. It depends on how much I want to go out and where all I want to go. I can see 5 people a week. I can see 50 people a week.
Really? And that's both in Newark and Mount Vernon, or are we just specifically talking about Newark?
I strictly stay in Newark.
Really? Is there a particular area where you're seeing the most, or is it just across the area?
It's all over Licking County.
Yeah. Is that what you're hearing as well, Carrie? I mean, is it
sure?
Just, yeah.
Yeah, we actually have 3 people that go out and do homeless outreach on a regular basis, and they cover the bases. Alexa's the one who goes out in the woods, under bridges, in the various places in the community where people are trying to remain unseen so that nobody bothers them while they're trying to figure things out, or just because they have nowhere else to go. Also, we have somebody who goes out in the county, like Pataskala, Hebron. We have another person who hits the shopping areas like Walmart and Kroger, and also covers the apartments. So I think people would be really surprised at the number of people who currently aren't housed and unsheltered in the Licking County area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night at the United Way homeless and housing.
The forum, the community forum.
Yeah, community forum that we had last night. You know, there was an estimate of, if it's only 100 people that are out based on a something called a point in time count, maybe that's something that's doable. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, it's a lot more than 100. Those are 100 people that are known. I put the number in hundreds of people have asked me. I don't know how many hundreds, but it's probably much more than 100 people on any given night that are out in our community without anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way of understanding, because mm-hmm. this is such a hot topic right now, especially in the Newark area, is there kind of a formula for it? I mean, does homelessness lead to drug and alcohol problems and mental health issues? Is it the mental health issues that lead to homelessness? I mean, is there any kind of system or any kind of pattern that would help people understand it better?
The way I put it is, well, your mental health certainly ain't going to do better when you're in a homeless situation. Just to give you some kind of context, when we do our numbers, we find that in Licking County, about 55% of the people that are coming into our doors, which we serve over 600 to 700 people a year, unique individuals in our coming through our doors, over half of those are either recently homeless, currently homeless, or in risk of being homeless. And that number is kind of a revolving door because of the housing shortage in Newark. You know, we'll house one person while another person is probably coming in our other door who just became homeless while we're housing somebody, because we do have a housing program at the main place also where we do housing placement assistance.
Hmm. And talk about that. Was it 10 units you have?
We have 18 units total.
Okay.
We have 10 units of permanent supportive housing, an apartment building that sits right behind the Newark main place.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we have a apartment building on West Main Street in 8 units where it's not supportive housing technically. It is a secure building, but we're just a landlord there. So we're looking to expand that actually, and we want to increase the stock significantly with a permanent supportive housing facility. We've had an architect design that would be 44 units of permanent supportive housing, and we're looking at a piece of land that's contingent to our Newark facility in south end of Newark. Mm-hmm. So we're still trying to get that project off the ground, but we think that would make a big difference. And the supportive housing we've discovered just makes a world of difference in keeping people housed who in their adult life have struggled with maintaining their housing. They've come into a permanent supportive housing with, you know, where we have somebody watching the front door for them and available for them to in their own living space to help them, to be there for them, and also to keep people out that of the of their apartment building that gets them in trouble and sometimes lead to them losing their housing.
Right on. Alexa, the hardest thing for folks who are dealing with homelessness, is it getting out of that mindset themselves? Is it the folks they're hanging around with? I mean, what, as you talk to people, what are they telling you is the hardest part about this? Is it just trying to find maybe a job? I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for these folks, but what are they telling you is this is where we need the help?
You hear a lot of it. A huge part that I hear is the fear. I can get somebody to go to treatment, but what I can't do is tell them what's going to happen when they come back. They go to treatment and they're dropped back off, even on our doorstep at the main place. And then what? Mm-hmm. It's the fear of the unknown. A lot of my folks that I'm out there talking to, if I do one thing, can you tell me again what's going to happen next? And I can't, nor can anybody else.
But what's your story? I mean, what was that step for you when you found, you know, your peace, you found the path out? What was it that got you the catalyst to now you're helping people?
God's honest truth, Licking County probation. I was given an ultimatum, and my ultimatum was to get clean or lose my daughter.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I chose, obviously, not to lose my daughter. My husband held my hand and said, you know, you want to go to school, do it. And I'm like, I can't do that. And he's like, yeah, you can. So he was my rock, pushed me through. Which led to doing human services at COTC.
Awesome.
Through human services, they require that you do a practicum, internship, I guess is what most people know it by. And I was placed at the main place. And when I first walked in the door, I didn't have any idea what the main place, didn't even know it was there, okay? Had I known prior to, I probably would have went there. But through that, getting clean and doing my internship there, it was an immediate, this place did more for me than I even knew at the time. So ultimately it was, I'm doing my internship and I'm out of here. Well, 8 years later, the main place has, I would love to tell you half my heart, but the main place is my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you are seeing folks who come through and that I don't want to say the light bulb goes off for them, but is there a moment where you can just tell, we've got this person, we're going to be able to get them through this? I mean, is there just anything like that? Or for everybody else, it's different?
For everybody, it's different. Rock bottom for everybody is different. A huge part of what I've learned and what I like to do is tell them, live your best life. If your best life's clean and sober, I support that. If your best life today's getting high, I support that. But when you're ready to get clean, we're still here. The main place is still here. If you want to be, you know, if you want or if you can be clean and stay clean, ultimately that's the goal. But we're not going to push you away if you're not at that spot yet. And that's a huge thing for all of us at the main place is we see so often our folks get asked to leave places because they're not ready to be clean. We try to welcome them in with open arms and give them a safe place to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, to go ahead, Carrie.
Well, I was just going to say, and one thing that we talk about some of the stereotypes of our community, you know, they would hear that and say, well, you're just enabling them.
I swear to God, that's what I'm going to ask. You probably have heard this.
Yes. Yeah, so. And it's not, you know, to give assistance to somebody is not enabling them. You know, to give somebody a meal is not enabling. To, you know, take them over to get a clean set of clothes, to give them to let them come in and take a shower. But you know, we are first and foremost a mental health recovery center, and we work with people every day to try to get them to the place where they start realizing their potential. And that's one of the things that we kind of picked up as a slogan of the main place is we help people feel like people again. That's actually something that Alexa coined, and we made it a part of our messaging that the main place is where people start to feel like people again, because one of the frustrating things is they come into the main place and we start working with them and they start to feel like they can do it again. Then they go back out, they leave the main place for the day and go back into our community and get pushed back down again and get looked at a certain kind of way because they're, you know, maybe they have a backpack on. Oh, they're homeless. They're riding a bike. Oh, this is a homeless person. Well, that's their transportation. They're getting around. And, you know, quite honestly, I would have been one of them people looking at them with judgment at one point in my life and coming to the main place and learning what it's all about. You know, I grew up in Newark and was a middle class kid, working class family, and I didn't experience homelessness. I still haven't experienced it. I'm a good listener, so I hear the stories and love listening to the stories and learning more about that. But the passion comes from, hey, this is my neighbor and this is my brother, this is my sister, and they deserve to get a chance to realize their potential. And that's one of the things that I think we really need to focus on as we start working towards solutions in Licking County and Newark, wherever it may be, is to realize that these people have potential. They have great potential. And one of the things that recovery is all about is somebody starting to realize again that they have potential. And that they can do this, that they can become self-sufficient, that they can pay their bills, that it is possible to figure out ways to try again, and that's one of the things that gets you up in the morning and gets you to work every day.
What drew you to it? I mean, what was it that you said? Because you were joking earlier, you used to work at a pizza place delivering pizzas here.
Yeah, I did. So. I did. That was when I was in college. I had two jobs and trying to get through school and went to Ohio State. But how I got to the main place is, you know, I consider it providential because I was a public accountant and a partner in an accounting firm. And was looking for public service, and there was an appeal for board members at the main place. And so I looked it up, and I was like, oh, I like psychology in college. I think this looks interesting. You know, didn't know anything about what a peer-run organization was. At the time, it would have been called a consumer-operated service. And so I went there, joined the board. One of the first things I did there was went to our large Thanksgiving dinner that we still have annually. And the executive director at the time, Glenn Hopkins, he since passed away, had invited the whole town. And the whole town showed up. And this was my first experience at the Bay Place. And I walk in, and there are people everywhere. People are just everywhere. And all of a sudden, you know, they served a meal. We got through, and I went down and sat at the table. And sitting across from me was a gentleman, and I noticed he had sandwich bags with him. And he was stuffing his meal into a sandwich bag. And I was like, well, this is different. This is something I've never experienced before. But then he went and got seconds, you know. So he had, you know, he was being resourceful, and he was preparing for his next meal. And I was like, what have I got myself into? But here we are 18 mm-hmm. years later, and this is going to be my last job.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about last night's meeting at the Doubletree. Sure. I think you said a couple hundred people were there. What I was worried about was this was going to turn into, you know, hey, you know, pointing fingers and all that. Were there folks there with concerns, obviously, but that said, hey, we can try this, we can try this. Did you try this? Have you tried this? Was it what you wanted it to be instead of just people coming in and complaining?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect out of it because, you know, the recent discussions with Newark City Council have been so volatile. and those people were all now coming together. So I wasn't sure what to expect, and they had us set up on tables and kind of a blended tables of different people. So the people from the main place that were there, we had four people there. We didn't sit together. We were at various tables. So they mixed up the organizer of the event mixed us up on the tables, and we had good discussions. Just a beginning discussion. I think the big takeaway from last night was the networking that was that occurred. People connected that didn't know each other was out there doing what they were doing. And I think that's a more important first step than figuring out if we need to expand shelters or if we need to do this type of housing or that type of housing. But it was a collection of the resources that are available in the Newark area and a lot of resources. And maybe now we can start coordinating that to where we can really start making a difference and start working together more. And there really wasn't any kind of adversarial discussions that I heard. It wasn't at my table. You know, it was cooperative and solution focused. They had questions that, you know, challenges and opportunities. So my take was it was a great networking opportunity, and I look forward to there being more meetings to where we can continue those conversations and you know, start coming up with a plan. Because, you know, to just get together and talk about it, we need to develop a plan at some point. But I think getting to know each other was a good thing last night.
And do you think, as a result of that meeting and moving forward, do you feel like there are adequate resources for the number of people that need to be served? Or is there room for growth in that?
I'll go first and let you answer, too. There's a lot of resources available in Newark and Licking County. We're known for that. There's another accusation or stereotype that people come to Newark to be homeless because we have so many resources. I'm sure there's some of that. I mean, we encounter that, but that's not the primary reason that people are there or in Newark. It is because there is a richness of resources in a helping community. That's why there were 200 people there last night, is because it's a caring community. That's why so many people showed up to oppose the Newark City Council. But there was also people that showed up that were for it because they know that public camping is a problem for a community, and we don't want to turn into some of those, you know, cities that we've seen on the news and things like that, where people are camping on the sidewalks and you got to walk around them to get downtown. We don't want that in Newark either. You know, the main place doesn't want that. That's not what we're about. So I do think that there is a lot of resources, and where we need to do better is coordinating those resources and know each other's out there, because one of the things we promote all the time is there's many paths to recovery. So this resource can help this family or this individual or this couple. And if we know about those resources out there, then we can kind of tailor a recovery plan for people to where they can get the resources that they need to help them be successful.
And what was your takeaway from that last night?
So I think Licking County residents and folks who work in Licking County showed a lot of heart last night.
Awesome.
There is a lot of resources, but I'll also be the first one to sit here and tell you more resources would not hurt. It wouldn't hurt in any aspect of anything that anybody in Licking County does. To speak on what Carrie was saying, the coordination and the communication, it's being more willing to come inside to see what somebody else is doing, to see, we would say, or I would say, get in where you fit in. And unfortunately, you can't do that unless you go somewhere you've never been. You can't do that unless you walk in with an open mind. And last night really showed, while people were all, we were all represented at different tables, so there was a good representation. Mm-hmm. And we passed around a thing. It was like the talking stick.
No, it was a pennant.
A pennant. And it was a, when that person has it, you listen. And that was nice because not one person was able to dominate what their thoughts were, and a lot more of that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned resources. If you could wave a magic wand and you could say, this is what we need, what would that be then? I mean, where are you seeing this community is lacking in a particular resource? Is it, I mean, what would you say that would be?
If I had a magic wand today and could wave it, the first thing I would wave it for is affordable housing for Licking County.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, I'm...
Sure, yeah. Availability will lead to affordability. The more availability we have with housing, the more affordable housing we'll have. We need all types of housing in Newark. The reason we have a homeless problem is because we have a housing problem. We just don't have enough places. We can't continue to blame the people for being homeless. We got to take some of the responsibility that, well, are we providing enough housing? And are we providing quality, affordable housing, you know, that somebody can live in, that has, you know, that has utilities, that has running water, that, you know, we think those things are, you know, well, of course they do. Well, they may not, you know, and so we need to make sure that we focus on increasing the housing stock in our area. That's critical, priority number one in my book.
That's got to be so tough, though. I mean, the average mean, whatever you want to say, price for a house in this community is $350,000. And I know there's a lot of people. That's just not attainable. I mean, you look at the jobs that are available. You look at, you know, what types of jobs are even coming in. That seems to be what's driving up the price. So, I mean, I know it's not an easy solution, but what are the answers? I mean, is it working with contractors? Is it working with the community to say, hey, we got to have pockets here and there of affordable types of housing, and the threshold's a little lower than maybe, you know, what the county bears right now?
Sure. And that's one of the problems when you start talking about affordable housing areas. Well, of course we want affordable housing, but then, you know, being an investor in affordable housing is the next thing. You know, we do have a development going on out in Heath that is starting with a developer who's taken on going to build 400 units.
Yeah, that's when they're doing their park, their Central Park area, because yeah. I was at that press conference. But yeah, I know that's what you're talking about.
But things like that is the start. You know, the main place wants to do a permanent supportive housing facility of 44 units. Those types of things, all different types of housing is really the only solution. And there was some discussion about that last night. The Licking County Foundation is taking both a funding and a organizing responsibility to try to make some of those things happen in our community. Even to the point of supporting the trades to get more people who are in the construction industry. You know, we talked about potential earlier. Yeah, we just recently hired somebody that had been homeless for quite a while. Now they work at the main place. They're housed by the main place, and they helped us do some construction work. It was actually deconstruction work. We were tearing down a building.
It's the best kind of construction. Yeah, deconstruction.
he had experience in doing that. That's what he did.
That's awesome.
Before he got in some trouble, ended up homeless when he got out of the trouble, but he had that skill and helped us tear down this building. I'm sure at some point he'll also be able to help us when we go to build the building that we in the place that we tore down one. So
yeah, it's amazing if you give somebody some hope, and I'm sure Alexa knows that better than I do. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I wish I'd have had you in sooner and we'd have talked about this, because it's such a big issue. And again, it's hit, you know, for a lot of people, but especially with what city council just passed, you know, and that's a tough situation for them as well. They live here, they work here, they've got family here. So not an easy decision for them. But Carrie, I appreciate it. Alexa, fantastic story. Appreciate you coming in. Don't party too much on Halloween. Don't eat too much candy. You and I are the same. So we'll pass it out. One for the kids, two for us. One for the kids, two for us. But that's great. I appreciate it. Again, Carrie Lofman, the executive director of The Main Place, and Alexa Wendt, she's the peer support director at The Main Place. Get on their website, check out all the great things that they're doing in our community.